Hello, good afternoon. Just turn off the music and let's get started then. Welcome. Glad you can all make it at a late hour in the afternoon, 5 o'clock, last session of the day. I'm between country drinks, the last session and country drinks, so let's get started. Mission for this session is IT operation for a good night's sleep. I want to show you in my session how you can get more sleep and more rest within your IT operations. So the agenda for this 1 hour, 1.5 hour. First, I'm going to show you what no sleep looks like. And I don't mean no sleep in Madrid, partying all night, having fun, but no sleep when running your IT operations. Next, when we have a good understanding of what that means, I want to show you how Operation Manager can go from object monitoring to line of business application monitoring by changing the perspective on just an operating system or just a database, combining them in a line of business application. So helping you get to a proactive monitoring. Next up, I want to show you how Service Manager can automatically register incidents and how we can sync up line of business applications between Operation Manager and Service Manager, so you don't have to manually keep them in line, in sync all the time. Now, next up, I want to do some analysis of incidents that came in my Operation Manager environment. I want to do an Excel sheet exercise to show what my top one alert is, and I'm going to fix that in the latest demo in Orchestrator by fixing that top one alert, making sure my business level SLAs are actually met and fixed. And in the back end, we can start thinking about the solution for the problem that actually is going on in my environment. So the goal and objectives. The things you should take away from this session, you have to stop following incidents. You need to run your operation, but you need to rethink how you're doing that. So every incident that comes in needs to be prioritized and planned. And an incident needs to be addressed right away, but not everyone needs to run behind those incidents. Now, next up, how to register and analyze those incidents. Just like I told you, it's coming in Ops Manager, going to Service Manager, and then we're going to do analysis in Excel. The next thing you have to do, when you know how to fix your incidents, you need to put that on paper. You need to put it in writing, because when one of the IT guys is getting sick, somebody else that needs to fix it. And when you don't know how to fix it, you need to do the process over and over and over again. And the thing you want to do is start automating. And you can only start automating stuff when you know what the solution to your problem is. So write it down. Make sure someone else can actually fix the same problem one of the top IT admin guys, IT pros in your organization can. So when you need to take time, you need to reserve time. And that's the thing we all are not having when running our business. Time to actually sit back, have a look at our problem, make a design of how we're going to fix that, and then actually implement that. Because the new incidents already came in, we have to fix some other problem, and we're not taking that time. So that the time and the reservation of that time is key in fixing all these problems. And last but not least, you need to make it part of your company's DNA, your IT organization's DNA. You need to analyze the things you're doing. You need to look into your data that's available. And 9 out of 10 times, you have a lot of data available, but you're not actually doing something with it. You're running reports because I want to have 6 reports. No, you should think every report should have an action. If there's no action in a report, don't run the report. It's a waste of time looking in reports that don't actually give you some actions. So these are the goals and objectives. Now, my name is Walter Eikenboom. I'm from the Netherlands. I work for Innovative. It's a consulting firm in the Netherlands. We are specialized in doing all Hyper-V and System Center stuff. We have 5 MVPs within our company. They're all really community-driven. And my role in there is to align technology, people, and processes to really support the technologies that we are implementing at our customers. So technology, just doing technology because we want to do cool stuff is really nice, but it's not going to pay the bills in the end because you need some alignment in the back with the processes, with the training of your staff, and with the service level people that are making agreements with the business, and the business is actually paying you to run your IT. So that's my function within Innovative. Getting no sleep. Things we see and hear a lot at customer sites is that they're really running wild behind incidents. An incident comes in, and only that one guy knows that product really well, so the one person that's having the incident response role is going to the third line support to fix the problem, and they're not writing it down. They're not thinking about it, and they're just running behind those incidents. So when you're talking to an IT team lead or an IT manager, they just want to clone one of the really good IT guys, the IT pros that has done the most trainings and been to TechEd a few times. Those guys really know a lot. So if I as a company have four of those guys, I can fix everything. But it's not true. And you all know that, because in that case, there will be a lot of new technology pushed in your organization. You would have new problems adopting all the new stuff. And the guys are not the second tier employees, and second tier engineers are not educated well. And you still have to go to the third tier engineers to fix your problems. So cloning the top IT guy in your organization, I think you guys are those people, is not the solution for a company. The indications of knowing if it's actually a problem in your organization that you're just chasing incidents is to see if you have right priorities when an incident is registered, and to see if everybody, if the first time and the second tier fixes are okay. So if nothing's fixed in the first tier, then something's going wrong. You need to have a shift down principle of giving manuals, giving them some guidance and education so they can fix it on the first call, so they don't have to disturb you when you're making new technology available for your organization and running projects. So a few handy things that are available on the internet and on the Microsoft site that can help you assess your IT organization and really get your people, process, technology way of thinking going. One of them is the Core I/O model. How many of you people are familiar with the Core I/O model? Oh, that's not a lot. Okay, nice. The Core I/O model is a model that's been created by Microsoft, and they did an assessment with a lot of companies all over the world, and they put all that data together in a framework, and that framework is called Core I/O. The Core I/O model is a model to measure the IT maturity of your organization. So what you're going to do, and it's an online thing, and you can also ask consulting firms like we are in the Netherlands to help you with that. You're going to do a lot of questions on how your IT organization is performing, and then you're going to fill out all that, and then you can map your backup systems on a specific maturity level, or your operating system, or your monitoring system, or your policies, on how mature you're working on that level within IT. So when you have a look at basic, in the basic organization, everybody's just running, doing technology, not thinking how to align, not helping the business, not adding value, but just, hey, I see something cool. It's really new. Let's implement it. What we're going to do with it, we will see. It will fit in there somewhere. So there's a lot of good content on the Microsoft site about this. There's an online assessment as well. So if you haven't used this at all, have a look. Because behind every step within this model, going from basic to standardized, for instance, there is a paper or a white paper or an example behind that to help you make that additional step to make your life easier. So if you don't have control in the incident level or in the malware level or in the security level, there are a few guides available to mature your security or your patching just by using this model. So this is really powerful, and it's a good thing to sometimes have a look at what should we do next in our organization. One of the other things that's really, really nice is the Microsoft Operating Framework. And how many of you have ever seen or heard of the Microsoft Operating Framework? That's a lot more. Nice. Microsoft Operating Framework is an ITIL-based framework that's been rewritten. It's changed from it's changed from ITIL to Microsoft Operating Framework. It's a translation to an actual role-based organization within IT. So the Microsoft Operating Framework is a guidance for the quadrants that you can see there: operate, deliver, and plan. And around that is the management of IT. And all roles are described within that framework. And in the description of those roles, it's not only a person with a role or a group with a role. The input and output for that group is described to make them do their job as good as they can. So if you have an IT team and you want to know what your team needs to do their job really well, you can have a look in there. You see, what agreements do I need to have in place to actually know how fast I have to respond to an incident, or know how many times a week or how many times a day I have to run a backup because I have to need to restore within 2 or 4 hours. So these things are described in the Microsoft Operating Framework. And when you have a look in the deeper part, the service monitoring and control, that's the one place where Microsoft Operating Frameworks helps you to target your SLAs. So what's my SLA and how am I going to translate the service level agreement to the actual fixing of a problem, of an incident, or how do I have to monitor my line of business application to make sure that my business SLA is met so I can fulfill my task as an IT organization for my business. So then, talking about service level agreements, one thing I've seen a few times is that service level agreements are nice and it's just an agreement between the service manager and the business, and there's no communication between the IT operations team and the service managers. They know there are service levels, but there's no agreement on how fast should I respond. Which objects do I need to measure, monitor, or know their state of to actually meet the service level agreement you agreed on and that you're paying us, our IT department, money for? So what you need to know there is if you have an agreement on a service level agreement, you need to go down into the service level objects to make sure what you have to measure. So what do I need to have in Ops Manager, and where can I report on to make sure my SLAs are met? Now, the next step is the operational level agreement. And in that agreement, you define how fast you have to respond on an incident. Because you know the uptime of a specific component, like a database or an IaaS service or a website. But you need to know how fast you have to respond to actually fix an incident. And when you know how fast you have to respond to that, you know how fast you have to monitor your website. So if your response time is 4 hours, you don't have to check your availability of your IaaS web service every 10 seconds because you need 10 extra additional servers to just for monitoring. So that's a translation you have to make. And last but not least are the underpinning contracts. And that's one that's forgotten a lot of times. And the example I'm giving now is a real-world example. One of the companies I've worked with have a server, and that server is with a dongle because of licensing, and it's running all the time, no problems there. And then a hard disk failed, and the server went down. But the SLA, service level agreement they agreed on was 99.99 something, 99 point. So within 4 hours, that thing should be up and running again. So everything was in place. They were monitoring. They have a service level agreement. The incident was registered within 10 minutes, and the third party was contacted to get them a new hard disk. Only that underpinning contract was for 24 hours. So you're promising your business that you can fix something within 4 hours, and you're paying companies that need to support you in the underpinning contracts within 24 hours. So that's a big problem, because you can never match your service level. And there's a problem you need to be aware of and always have to look into. It's a drill down And if your underpinning contract is 24 hours service delivery, you can never get a higher SLA than the lowest part in your chain. So, okay, one of the other steps you have to fulfill is you have to enable your IT admins. They're really important in your organization, and you need to make sure that they run your operation well. So if you are implementing processes and you're working with processes, don't make the process work you. Make sure the process is helping you to get changes through your organizations. Make sure a service manager can put the pressure on the right places within the organization. So the process is there to help you, not to give you a lot of paperwork. But if that's the case, you need to rethink your processes and have a look how to automate stuff within the process and have a look how to optimize that, because the process is there to help you. So now what I want to do is just tell you how the System Center 2012 R2 capabilities from an application owner perspective to a data center admin are. And as you can see on the left side, we have an application owner, and she just want to know what's going on in her application. She's functional responsible for that, and she want to know the uptime. She want to know if it's running and which components are in there. In the best case scenario, she wants to add another user, get another user out, because she's paying for those people who are actually using that application, and she want to have more control. So what we're giving her there is self-service, and the things you can use at this point in R2 is App Controller, and App Controller is one of the products in the System Center suite, where you can start and stop virtual machines, and you can even start and stop virtual machine templates with SQL included, IIS included, that are stored in your VMM at the backend. One of the other self-service possibilities is Service Manager. And on that page, you can use self-service and you can embed it in the process that you're running. So if there's a user request and you give a self-service request to HR department, so when somebody is new in your company, they just go to the self-service portal, they log in, and the create user is only available for them. You can create a group that's only for the HR department. They log on, they give in the credentials of the new employee, and it's put into Service Manager, into the process. So now someone will get an approval request. And within that request, the manager or the security manager can approve or deny the creation of that account. So if you make the next step to the service delivery and automation in the center part of this slide, we can connect Service Manager and Orchestrator. And Orchestrator will help you out actually creating that user. So on the one side, you have Service Manager for automating the process. Make sure you have the approvals, make sure there is a review on all new accounts, make sure the CI are registered in the CMDB. And on the other hand, Service Manager is kicking off the process in Orchestrator, and Orchestrator is fulfilling the technical tasks. Create user, create group, create associated computer account, deploy software. So Orchestrator, technical automation, Service Manager, process automation. And last but not least, on the right-hand side, there's the data center admin that has Virtual Machine Manager for managing his fabric and his virtual machines, running on Hyper-V, Xen, or VMware, of course. Operation Manager for monitoring the complete environment. Config Manager and Data Protection Manager for backup and restore. And Config Manager for software deployment, OS deployment, and patch management. So now I want to go into Ops Manager. Who is familiar with Operation Manager 2012 already? Okay, nice. So Operation Manager 2012, compared to 2007, it already feels like a real long time ago because R2 is already coming, but hey. 2007, there was one critical server in the center of Operation Manager that needed to be a special machine with a lot of hardware, with a lot of IOPS, with a lot of disk speed, with a lot of memory and CPU. Something they changed in the 2012 version of System Center 2012, they created resource pools. So if you're implementing Operation Manager now, you can just use virtual machines and cluster them in resource pools and make that available for a specific type of monitoring. Now, how does it work? You put in two VMs, like in this example, and you have an operational database that's connected to all the virtual machines and a data warehouse. And the operations database, the operation manager database, there all the short-term configuration is stored. And in the data warehouse, the long-term configuration is stored. And normally that's about 400 days, but you can extend that period as you like. So if you see the downside of this slide, on the Windows machines, the agents are installed. So every data that's collected from the virtual machines is collected by the agents. And it's always recommended to use agents. Sometimes you use agentless monitoring, but that's more in cluster scenarios. And in 2012, one of the new capabilities was full network monitoring. That was available in 2007 as well, but only on a ICMP-based ping level. And now you can have a full insight of what your network looks like and what the connected switches and servers are. So if within such a resource pool, one of the management servers will drop out, the other one will just take over and will just keep monitoring your environment. So if you need more resources, just put in another virtual machine. You have more resources and you can assign them to do Active Directory monitoring, network monitoring, or application performance monitoring. So one of the things I want to show you in a few minutes within the Operation Manager demo is how to get from object-based monitoring to go from object-based monitoring to line-of-business application monitoring. And this is the main principle for doing that. What you start with is start monitoring the infrastructure just by objects, the networks, the operating systems, the databases, Active Directory, stuff like that. And you're not correlating them at that point. The next step that you want to do is go into application monitoring. And the new thing in R2 is Java monitoring, so you can actually monitor your Java applications. And as is available as in the SP1 version of System Center 2012 is .NET application monitoring. And who of you is already familiar with application performance monitoring? We will not get very deep into that, but it's a real nice feature. And if you are running .NET applications in your environment, you really should have a look at it. It's really cool, and it really gives you a good insight from end-user perspective how your chain of .NET application components is related, is working, and what the response times of each component are. So if you have application monitoring in place, the next step is end-user experience monitoring. And there are a few ways to do that. The first way I want to talk about now is just from inside your data center, have a look at your web server, go to the website you're monitoring, the end of your line of business application, log on, log off, and you have a response that you are expecting. So just do that every 15 minutes, and you know if the functional availability of your website is there. And that's something you can report on to your manager. Here you can see how good a job we are doing. Next step, and I'm going to go into that in a few minutes, is Global Service Monitor. That gives you the ability to watch that same website from the outside in, from the Azure nodes. And we will get into that in a few minutes. So one of the new things that are available since SP1 are the there are a lot more synthetic transactions. So that's how to measure the end user experience. So that's enormously expanded compared to what was available in 2012. There's more DevOps integration. We're not talking about that now, but that's something that really improved as well and is still improving in R2. More .NET application monitoring. A few more dashboards are available that you can use in Ops Manager itself or publish to SharePoint. And, of course, cloud monitoring. Global Service Monitor, Windows Azure monitoring, integration of Advisor. These are real new things. And the management structure changed a bit. But so I just talked about Global Service Monitor for a second. If you're running a line of business application that's internet facing, you want to know what the response times are from the outside in. You can run a query from your data center to the server that's running in your data center. So if that's not working, you have a really big problem, because there's only one switch, two cables between the watcher node, the operation manager agent, and the web server. So that should be okay. But you want to know how somebody that's in London is working remotely and he wants to use your service that you're running here in Madrid. So you want to know how that's performing. And that's where global service monitoring is going to help you. Global service monitor can be used if you're a software assurance customer. You can use it and connect it up to operation manager and use it as a watcher node. So if you have a synthetic transaction for your website, and it can be just load the website and I want to know if it's okay, or you can do a full performance test or a full login, you can load it into Ops Manager and say which Azure node has to perform that task. So that's really powerful. And as you can see in this slide, and I will show that in the demo for a second as well, you can see on your left-hand side is the map of the world with the 16 or 18 Azure locations that you can use, that you can select. And on the right are the performance times and the availability. And at the bottom are the test states. So you can see one of the nodes is having a poor response. And in this case, it is London. So you know if somebody's calling from the London office, you can say, hey, we know. We have tested it. We don't know what it is. We know the rest of the world is doing okay, but only from the London side we have a problem. So that's pretty awesome, I think. You're not looking only from inside your data center, but you're looking from the outside in. Now, this slide, just put in there for your resources. Have a look. You can sign up for a free trial, and there are some links on how to implement GSM and how to connect it up and how to get up and running. Slide deck is available online on the Channel 9, so you can always download it and get the slides. Now, I want to dive into the demo. I want to show you how to build the line of business application monitoring within Operation Manager. So this is Operation Manager 2012. It's not R2 yet. I didn't trust it to be a stable demo if I was going to the bit. So starting with this one. As you can see in this pane, I have the health state of all the machines that are running in my environment. And as you can see, if something's wrong, there will be a warning there. And if the IIS ADROL is healthy on a specific server, it's there. So this is what we're talking about, infrastructure monitoring at a component level. We have an operating system, we have IIS, we have SQL. But this is a good starting point. If you have this insight, you actually know what's running in your data center. So on the top, you have an alert view. And in the alert view, you can see which incidents are coming in your organization. And I want to go into Global Service Monitor for a second, and it's in the administration pane. I want to view the test state. And as you can see here, in my environment, I have a critical warning from my local, for my app controller, and that's true because the machine isn't there. And I got a critical error on my machine from Nieuw-Vennep, and that's my hometown. So, and I think that's true because this machine is not there at this point. So now I can just click Summary Dashboard. And with this, you can publish it. This is something you can see, the outside-in health state of your application with the performance state. And I hope it's loading now. So you can see on every health state icon, as I showed you in the presentation. No, it's not like that. Okay. It was getting the data, but it's not okay. Okay. So you would get the picture that I showed you in the presentation. But now let's get into building a line of business application monitoring. I'm going into the authoring console, and in the authoring console there are management pack templates. Management pack templates are available for creating your custom monitoring the easy way. You don't need to write code, you don't need to change XML scripts, it's just a wizard that you go through and you're just going to assign properties that it will collect from your environment. So, and I'm going to use that as well to build this line of business application monitoring. I'm going to build a web application transaction monitor, and I'm going to start add monitoring wizard. And I have to do the same thing again. And it's next. And I start with, first let me show you the line of business application I will be monitoring. I have a really cool, I think, the new Facebook. That's called Talking Heads. And it's a three-tier application. There's a business tier, there's a web front-end, and there's a SQL database behind it. All kind of people have put blog posts into there and articles into there, and I want to join as well. So I'm logging in. Just to give you an idea of what the line of business application is that I want to monitor, and there I am. Now I'm going to search because I want to invite some friends. Facebook without friends is not really nice, of course. So, and Talking Heads without friends is a problem as well. And I'm going to search. And there I am. So let me select somebody that's already writing some posts, and I want to become a friend. It doesn't update. Okay, friend request sent. Now let me see how many friends I already have. I'm not really popular here in this Talking Heads application, so maybe somebody else is. Let's see how we can monitor this app. So I'm going in here, and I'm running the wizard to check this front end. And I'm going to call it Talking Heads Tag Head. And I have to create a management pack. And a management pack is just a flat empty file of XML where I'm going to store all the data that I need for monitoring. So if I throw it away, that management pack, everything I built now is gone. So if you want to test something, make sure it's in a single management pack and throw it away when you're done, when it's not the outcome you expected. I'm going to click Next and Create. Now it's creating the empty XML. And when I'm going to do save on the web transaction monitor, it will all put all the data in there. Going to the website. Now let me go in here. Let's put it in here and do a test. I really want to know that it's working. And when you do this test, your local machine needs to have access to the website you're requesting. Otherwise, it cannot resolve it and cannot test it. Something that you can configure in a later stage from a watcher node. And a watcher node is a point of view compared to that website. So you can configure a proxy or a user account that you need to actually access that website. It will measure the response, and it will show the response times. And it's there. Okay. These are the details that came back from monitoring this single website. Next. Here I can select the watcher node. So if you have an agent installed on a remote location, you can just use that agent to check a website. There's always somebody in a different remote location that's complaining about the speed or how the web application is running. And you don't really know what, it's all subjective. You don't really know how bad it is. So if you install an agent on that location and you make it a watcher node to check the web application, you can just compare it. Because you can select more, and you can see what the response times from the different locations are. I will just do one and put it in 1 minute request because of the demo. I will do next, and I will go to create. This will take a few seconds, and after this it will save it in the XML data. There it is. And I will go to into the distributed application monitoring. Right click. Yes. Okay, I want to create a new distributed application with the end user perspective we just created. And there it is. Right click, create new distributed application. Calling it thticket, and I'm making it a blank, and I'm using the management pack that I already created. So this is the basic configuration for my app. Here I go. And I'm going to add components. I know within my line of business application there are servers that I want to be healthy in relation to the objects that I'm monitoring. So I'm creating a group called servers, local entity, application components. And the first time that you're building this, you have to look into this model. But after that, it's nice and easy. First I'm going to go for server, so I need to go to operating system. There we go. I can select the type of operating system I want to include in this group. And it's called server. And on your left-hand side, you can see all the servers that are actually monitored by this operation manager environment at this point. Now I'm going to add a group called databases. I'm going to go to logical entities, application component, database, and it's a SQL database. Next, add component. I'm calling it a web server. I'm doing the same thing again, just creating a group, application component, going to the websites, and the last one is the end user experience. And I'm going to create a group for that as well. And this is the perspective I was talking about. So I'm going to create a group with all end user perspectives. Yep. Okay. So now I need to put in the relationships there. So I create a relationship. The end user experience is looking at the web server. The web server is looking at a database. The database is looking at the server. And the web server needs the server. So now I created a simple line of business application without any components. So that's the next thing I had to do. I'm going into... Nope. Clicking the wrong one. I'm going into the perspectives, and hopefully it's already there. It's talking heads, it's available. This is the end user experience. When I go into the SQL database, I know it's on the portal server, and I have to look, and I see the talking heads database there. And the web server, and it's the social web server. And when I try to put it into the server object, it's not possible. So you really have to put it into the web server IIS component group. And the last one is the Windows server, and it's on the portal server. So now I've created my line of business application monitoring for this app, and I'm going to click save. And that will take a few seconds. And now what it will do, it will select all the components, put in the relationships, and it will save it in a line of business application view. And it will get into that in a second when it stopped, when it saved it. Okay, there it is. Now can I close it down? The talking heads application is there. And I want to view the diagram. And the health state still needs to be calculated. As you can see, the object in the center is already green and healthy, but it needs to be aggregated into the group, into the complete local application. I will show you that in a little bit later when it's done. But a cool thing about this is you can actually export it as a Visio with live data. TH Visio. Or if you want to generate a report for your manager talking about this application, you can just save it as an image or a PNG. And what I want to do here is show you that the Visio is actually working. It's cool. And now it's a really small application, but when I zoom in. As you can see, you can use it. You can save this to SharePoint and have a live view of the actual health state of your line of business application. So if you publish it to the service desk, they actually know the four core application, how healthy they are. And if an end user calls them, they can tell, we know. We have a warning state on something that's happening in our environment. We are actually working on that. Because they actually know what's going on. And they don't have to call you first. Hey, we have a problem in Exchange. What's going on? Oh, it's already down for 3 hours. So it's easier to give them a dashboard than to just inform them every time over and over again when something's going on. Okay. So that's the operation manager part. I just need to export the management pack I just created because I want to import that into the service manager in a few moments. So let me switch to the slides. So what we've done now, if we're looking at the core IO model, we were at the basic level because we were just doing object monitoring. And I don't think that's actually basic, but already a bit of standardized. But we created a holistic view of that application from all angles, from inside, from outside. We did the relationships. We know which database is running on which hardware. So we made our first step within the core IO model. Now, I want to talk a little bit about Service Manager. How many people of you are actually using Service Manager at this point in their organization? Okay, that's not a lot. How many of you are looking at Service Manager to start using in the System Center suite? Oh, that's nice, okay. Service Manager is the process automation part and automated CMDB engine, bless you, and automated CMDB engine of the System Center suite. What you can do with Service Manager is give end user self-service, containing the process and automating the backend with Orchestrator. You have the ability to connect all your known Microsoft infrastructure like Active Directory, Configuration Manager, Operation Manager, of course, Virtual Machine Manager, and get all that data and put it into the CMDB. And Service Manager actually knows all these relationships. So if you have software installed on a desktop computer and you're the user that logs on every day onto the same machine and you have a problem, you call the service desk. The first thing they ask, which machine are you on? No. You're telling what's going on and which application is failing, and they're looking in the CMDB and they see, hey, normally you're working on that computer because they see the most used, frequently used user on a single machine. And they can just add it to the ticket with one click. So that's really powerful because Service Manager knows all these relationships. And on the bottom side of Service Manager, you have the automation part. So you want to try to automate incident process, change process, and the problem management stuff. And the first automation we do now 9 out of 10 times is just make it notification based. Don't completely automate the process right away, but make sure that everyone don't have to live in the console, but if something, a task is available for you or for me, you will get a notification email that there's a task available for you. So that's really powerful and it's really helpful in most organizations. So how is Service Manager integrated? Service Manager, as I already explained, you have an Exchange connector for sending notifications and receiving emails, creating incidents. You have an orchestrator for automation and self-service automation. SharePoint for publishing dashboards from the data warehouse. And of course, the CMDB connectors for Active Directory for users and computers, Config Manager for your software assets, VMM for your clouds and your virtual machines there, and Operation Managers for all your databases, all your servers, and all the relationships that you have in Operation Managers, and of course, your line of business applications. So I want to switch over, here we are, to Service Manager. And I first want to dive into the CMDB. Here we go. Here we have a computer object, all Windows computers. And this is what is collected. So all the things that are in my Active Directory are automatically populated in my CMDB. And I have two line of business applications there. But now I want to automatically sync between Operation Manager, what I just created, and Service Manager. Because I don't want to do that manually. When the database changes from server A to server B, I don't want to go into the CMDB and register it manually. I want to do it automatically. So what I do, I'm going to import the management pack that I just exported on the Ops Manager side. And I'm going to use this one that's already available. Oh, this one. Open up. And import. What will happen is this at this point, and Operation Manager and Service Manager are, when you look into the database, built on the same common platform. So this the XML structure is familiar. So now it's in there, and the structure is added to the database, so all objects within that framework are shown into the CMDB. And my management pack isn't sealed, so I get some errors because of relations, but... And now I'm going into the CMDB. I will do a refresh. And it's available here. I think it's still empty because the sync didn't work yet, but I will show you in one of the other applications. And here you can define your name, the display name, the status of your application. But you can also define the service owners, the service contacts, and the customers that are using your application. So you have a central place of defining all your line of business applications within your business. And then I'm going into service components, and I want to know which components are actually part of this line of business application. And within this group, you can see there is a database component, a website component, and a network device group. So these are all included within this line of business application and will be kept in sync with Operation Manager. And as you can see at the bottom, if an incident is registered for this application, it will be visible here as well. So in the end of the month, you can just see how many incident changes are active on your infrastructure for this application and how many changes are coming up for this line of business application. So it's really central administration for your CIs. And I'm okay. Now one of the other cool things is I've already created the template and I don't want to route incidents. I just want to know if a SQL incident comes in my Ops Manager console, I wanted to assign it to the SQL team. So I've created the template, and this template looks like this. And the only thing I've done, and it's really easy when you have Service Manager up and running, is put in the group to which I want to assign it to. So what I'm going to do next is going into the connector, and one of the connectors is the Operation Manager Alert connector. So if an alert pops up in Operation Manager, it's automatically routed to Service Manager. But now I want to add a rule, SQL, and I want to use the SQL team template. I'm going to define all management packs. All management packs that contain the word SQL and generate an alert, a critical or a warning, I can configure that as well, will be assigned to that team. So the first tier support doesn't have to look into these incidents anymore, because it's automatically routed. And when you're in the SQL team, you will get a notification, because that's what service manager does. There's an incident for you. Have a look. Here do you have an email. So the complete flow from detecting a problem until assigning is something you have automated in this way. Let me get back into the slides again. So what we've done now, within the configuration manager database, we went from unaware of which assets we have in IoT organization to service oriented, because we know all the components within our line of business application are related, available, and we know who's the owner, the service owner, our first contact, if it's in-service or out-service. So that's what we've done with this small step in the core IO model. So we made another step in IT maturity. Because of the time, I'm going to go through this part really, really fast. This is the service manager data warehouse model. I can talk about this a few hours, but I'm going to keep it limited to a few minutes. On the left-hand side, you see the available data warehouses within System Center, like Ops Manager, Service Manager, and Config Manager. And you can let them sync to the Service Manager data warehouse to make your full reports there. One of the powerful things of Service Manager data warehouse is that you can create your own cubes. And based on those cubes that are running all day, every day, you can generate your reports. So you can create your own reporting set based on all data available in Config Manager, Service Manager, and Operation Manager. So that's a really cool feature. It's really nice, and it works by ETL jobs. So it's going to extract the data, transform the data, and load the data into the new data warehouse, where you can create the cubes to actually analyze this stuff. Now, these are one of the dashboards you can create, published to SharePoint, and this is one you can create in Excel. And this is a really important one. And I always call it the magic tree in operations. One thing you need to be aware of, when you run a report and you want to improve your operations, this is a report you have to run every week. You need to know what your top incident is. You need to know what your top warning is. You need to know what your top server with error is. And these need to be addressed. When you're starting out with monitoring, the best thing that you can do is just pick the top three and do that for 3 months every week. Then you will see that every error that comes in will be paged to someone, because it's a critical error and there's actually downtime. That's a really fast and strong process. This is something you need to be aware of, that if you want to analyze your stuff, you need to make these steps and make some time available to actually fix the problems that you see in this report. And I want to dive into Excel. And with Power Pivot, I want to make a connection to the Ops Manager database. In my case, I'm just connecting in to the Ops Manager database. And I'm using an SA account because I'm not enjoyed with my demo environment. But and I'm selecting the Operation Manager database. Do next, and I'm going to put a SQL query in here. And it's a predefined query, and it's a real easy one, just give me all alerts. And do next, I'm going to put it in here, and I'm going to validate it. Now, SQL statement is validated, it's an actual Ops Manager SQL query, and I click Finish. What's doing now? It's collecting all the alerts that are available in Operation Manager and putting it into a Power Pivot in Excel. 1,344 rows. And that's way too much information to just go through manually. So what I'm going to do, select it. And select them all. Hey, where did I? Power Pivot, I'm going to make a pivot chart. It's going to be on a new worksheet. And I want to make it a bit bigger so we can see it. Okay. Here's the query that I created and all the data that's available. And I'm going to start with the monitoring object path. And it's in the horizontal on the vertical X. Then I'm going to use the full name. And I want to split it by values. So I can see which computer name compared how many alerts I have in my database. As you can see, the portal server is the server with the most errors, but I still don't know what my actual problem is on that server. So I'm going to put in an additional variable, and with that, I can see that it's a Windows Server Internet Information Server 2008 website status. So, and what I've investigated in the past few days is that my web service just stops running, and when I start it again, it's all good for another 48 hours. So what I'm going to do now, based on this analysis, I'm going to go into Orchestrator to fix the problem for me. So who's familiar? Oh, sorry. First, let's start. The step we made within the core I/O model is that we were unaware of our risks, and now we know what's going on. We didn't fix it, but we actually know what's happening. So that's another step forward. Who of you is actually using System Center Orchestrator at this point in their environment? Okay. Who really likes it? Okay, nice. That's good. Yeah. I really like it as well. It's a really powerful tool that you can use to connect up all the System Center stuff together and do some automation. I'm not a .NET developer or something like that. I'm really an infrastructure guy. And I really like it because it's just playing with Visio. You're putting all Visio objects on a canvas, you're connecting it, and you can actually automate almost everything. So that's really powerful. But where do we want to use Orchestrator? And in my case, in this scenario, we're using it to be more proactive and to respond faster to make our SLAs higher. Because we have an agreement with our business users, we want to have uptime, and we're using Orchestrator to actually do that in this case, in case of an error. So what does the automation concept contain of? We have activities, and those activities are tasks that can be fulfilled on a specific machine. We have runbooks. These are collections of activities connected by the service bus. And the service bus is the place where all the data collected in the specific activities is passed through, so it can be used in the following activities. And I will show you that in a second. And the final one, the standard activities, are all the activities that are available in integration packs. And those integration packs are available when you download Orchestrator, but also on CodePlex. There are a lot of community packs available for instance, Active Directory. There is a Microsoft one, and there is a CodePlex one. And for SharePoint and stuff like that. So if you're looking for an integration pack for something that's not Microsoft, and there are a lot of not Microsoft products that you can connect to with Orchestrator, have a look at CodePlex. They're really good. Now, what are the options for integration with Orchestrator? Like I explained earlier in the overview diagram, Service Manager is for process automation. Orchestrator is for technical automation. And together they can connect to almost everything. Ops Manager, Config Manager. You can put computers in groups or get them into collections. You can get alerts from Ops Manager. You can connect to Exchange and so on. There are a lot of connectors. But let's get into Orchestrator. Okay, here we go. Now we found out that a web service is the problem, and I want to start building a runbook. And the first thing I have to do is start the runbook. And I'm going to schedule monitoring date. And I want it to run every 30 seconds. So now I have a task that just starts every 30 seconds. Nothing fancy, nothing strange. And I go into the Operation Manager integration pack, where all the standard activities are available. And as you can see, the create alert, get monitoring state, start maintenance mode, stop maintenance mode are default tasks that you can use to just drag and drop to fulfill on the Ops Manager objects you have available. I want to get an alert. And if that alert happens, I want to do something. So I'm connecting the tasks because I want to have data from flowing from one side to the other side. And I'm going in here. And I have to connect to my Ops Manager environment. So if you have more than one Ops Manager environment, you can connect them up to the same orchestrator instance. I'm clicking OK. And now I'm going to add some things that I want to filter on. I don't want to run this task on every new incident. I only want this task to be run when it's an IIS 7 problem on a specific server or on a group of servers. So I'm going to define when the incident goes through this automated task. So I'm going into name, contains, and I'm going to copy that over because when I'm going to type it myself, it will go wrong. Here we go. Next, I want to add the severity. And it's only when a critical happens, then I know there's downtime. I want to know the resolution state. And now it's connecting to Ops Manager to see which resolution states are available. As you're probably aware of, when an incident is generated in Ops Manager, it has a new resolution state. And you can assign such an incident to an engineer or to a group or put it on hold. So these are the tasks that I want to have in my runbook as well. And in the backend, there's a connector for this integration pack to get those alert states. And I only want the new ones. So these are the alert states available in Ops Manager, in my Ops Manager environment. Okay. And I want to make sure that my ticket ID contains IR. Because every ticket that's handled, I want to register in Service Manager. And I've created a connection between Ops Manager and Service Manager as well for automated incident routing. So when a ticket comes up, it first needs to be registered in Service Manager because I want to analyze it in a later point in time. The next step is for Orchestrator to fix the problem and close the ticket again. And that's done by Operation Manager again. There are a few different possibilities there, but this is the one I chose for in this scenario. And I click up OK. So now I want to update the alert, because when an engineer sees this thing coming in, he's going to go into the web server to see what's going on. And we wanted to have Orchestrator to fix it. So I'm making the same connection again. I'm going to put in the alert ID. And here's where the service bus comes in. I want to use the ticket ID from the get alert. This is the second one, so I need to put the ID and put it into the new task I'm fulfilling. So I'm going to get alert, select the ID, and now I've put some dynamic data from the service bus into my activity. Select field. I want to change the resolution state right away. And I want to change it in scheduled, because Orchestrator is going to fix this thing for me. Or not, but you need to be aware of this in Operation Manager. So the next thing I want to do is run a program. So I put a program in here. Run program. And I want to run it on the computer name that's available in the incident ticket. So I'm going back into computer data, and I'm going to get alert, and I'm going to use the net by its computer name. So when I select this one, it doesn't matter what the name of the computer is, it will just get that object from the ticket. So I don't need to know computer name. Okay. The program path I'm using, and I'm just using the command line this time, but I could also use the activity to start servers or stop servers. And start web servers. Netstart is the command I'm using here. It's a really simple example. And I'm clicking on OK. So this is the task that will be performed when the ticket is met, when the ticket's coming out for Ops Manager and it's met all the criteria. It's updated to scheduled. And the next task is go into the server and actually start the web server with the netstart command. Click finish. And now I want to close the alert. So I'm going to update the alert again. I make the Ops Manager connection again. So it's the same thing over and over again. I'm going to select the field, resolution state, and I want it to be closed. OK. But in case it goes wrong, I want this ticket to be escalated to a higher tier. The second tier or the third tier engineers need to be aware if this fails. So I'm going to put in a new update alert. And I'm going to connect this as well. And what I'm going to do now is in the service bus, I'm going to select the service bus parameters. And I'm changing them from success to failed. And just to make it really clear that this is the failure path and this is the successful path, I'm using the colors. So if somebody gets into the runbook, they actually can see, hey, when it goes OK, it's update, and update means closed. And I can change this name as well. Close alert and update alert. OK. So one thing you need to know, you have to be a bit careful with Orchestrator, because when you do a runbook test on the top of the screen, it will actually do the runbook you have created. So if you have created a test runbook, delete all users, and you will run it for test, it will delete all users. So if you ever will be testing with Orchestrator and you want to test it, when you hit run testbook, it will do actually that. So be aware of that. It's quite dangerous when you don't know that. So what I'm doing, I'm checking in my runbook. And then we're going to start it. So every 30 seconds, it will look inside Operation Manager. And it's running. Okay. So now I get into Ops Manager. And here's my website. What I'm going to do, I'm going to shut down that website. Mm-hmm. This is always the dangerous part of the complete demo. Portal server, computer management. In services, it's the bottom one. Stop. Okay, so now we broke our application. Hit F5. And it's waiting, so it really is gone. So now I'm going to look into Operation Manager, and at first, and it will take a few seconds, and the total time will take up to 2 or 3 minutes to actually fix it, because of all the 30 seconds, 15 seconds, 30 seconds stuff. So the first alert is in, and the II7 alert isn't in yet, so that will take a few seconds as well. Then it will be registered in Service Manager, and we will see at the behind the ticket ID, we will see the ticket ID field be populated with the ticket ID in Service Manager. And when it hits the two minutes button at H, you will see there will be an update in the resolution state. And within 10 seconds, it will fix the website, start a web service, or it will escalate it to the second tier. So hopefully it will fix it, but it can always go wrong. Always a very long few seconds. How many people of you think it's not going to fix the web service? One. Oh, that's a lot of trust, only one or two. Okay, the first ones are coming in. As you can see, the bottom ones have the IR extension already, so they will be put into, they are already available in Service Manager as well. And the II7 ones are on top of there. And the delay you see here is the delay between the synchronization of Ops Manager and Service Manager, that's around a minute or so. Mm-hmm. Staring at walls, okay. Come on. There we go. And oh, it's already gone. So Orchestrator really picked it up. And I'm going to go into the web page, click F5, and hopefully the portal will be back online. Ta-da! Sorry for you, but it actually works, so I'm really happy with that. So what we've seen here, I will be going back in my slides, that a problem that we analyzed and defined, which we were doing manually, is now automated. And it will probably not be fix the actual problem, but within the new release of this application in a few months, this will be fixed and addressed. But in the meantime, you're getting your business SLAs. You're delivering your promise to your end users. So what have we been talking about all the time? Monitor, analyze, and automate. Make sure that you know what's going on in your environment, analyze your data, and automate the stuff you can fix right away. Because with Orchestrator, that's really easy. Now, here are the goals and objectives we talked about. Have a look at it, where you're getting back, if there's something interesting in there for you as well. If you want to have a chat, I will be at the application monitoring booth tomorrow at 2:30. And these are some related sessions for you to attend if you want to know more about these subjects. And the other tracks. Please fill out your evals for this session. And thank you very much for attending. And have a good country drink tonight, of course.